Senior Focus. Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Curry. I'm your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And the nation has spoken. We got our results and some special votes will still be trickling in apparently because so many people actually voted for the first time and were of course forced to do special votes because they weren't on the roll. It's actually 17% of the total vote that is still being counted as we are listening. So that final result will include special votes from overseas and people who voted in other places other than in their electoral area and the new voters. So that's why we've got 17%. There's a big international interest, a big interest in New Zealanders living overseas who are entitled to vote and locally here, I think with the referenda tagging along has generated its own interest and involvement in people voting for the first time. And the result, New Zealanders chose generosity over self-serving. They took the overview of what was needed for the whole country. They were inclusive. And they weren't interested in toxic, failed attacks or in scheming, in political intrigue, dirty politics, or teams that couldn't get their act together. So they made a very clear choice. It was a historic win for Labor, a landslide, and indeed, given the turbulent times we live in, the unpredictable journey of COVID and the state of the economy across the globe and politics in other countries, it's quite a refreshing difference and the world has noticed. Aotearoa is lucky to have a leader that has vision and the capacity to inspire collective goodwill, courage and determination. Not my words. Dame Anne Salmon spoke these words in her deliberations around the election result. One of the concepts she talked about was the radical idea of Aroha replacing the neoliberal mythology of life as a marketplace based on egos pursuing their own interests. And that, of course, has led to ravaged landscapes, broken communities, and broken families. So her words were quite strong, and as a leader herself, she doesn't mince words. So she said that Jacinda Ardern understands Aotearoa's future depends on all of us, not just Labor supporters, and it depends on all of us caring for each other. The pulling together that we saw during the lockdown periods, the reaching out, the people actually offering to help and do messages and for strangers, that sort of thing we hadn't seen in a long time, not even in a generation or so, because that's the sort of thing we saw during the Depression and during the war, and that was what forged part of the New Zealand identity. So well-being is in our DNA, not just our own well-being individually, but our well-being as a community, as a nation. So that is what Jacinda was drawing on in her leadership. That was what she was propelling us forward to acknowledge its importance. And Dame Anne Salmon has taken this up very strongly. And she talks about ancestors crossing the Pacific Ocean, facing huge dangers, and like friends and family in other countries, the pandemic has taken a toll, and it's made us weary, it's made us fearful at times, it's made us stop and think and reflect what is really important to us. What do we really want? What do we really care about? What things are we doing in our daily lives that make us busy, rushing around? What can we actually drop off the cart and still feel that we're doing important work? So without collapsing the delicate ecosystems we have in our country, embracing what is needed for climate change and actually working together so we actually have some resilience and some safety and some planet to care for that's still worth living for and living on, that's there for our children and grandchildren. Dame Anne Salmon said, "I think we have a leader who is bold and visionary, but understands the need to take as many New Zealanders as possible with her on the wild ride ahead." She goes on, "In ancestral times, a star navigator had to follow the birds and the whales and work out the winds, the swells, the currents to cross a vast ocean. And at night, they watched the stars. They took their guidance from above. They picked up the next star and the next on the star path to reach their destination. And their waka were flexible and fast and had to be strong enough to survive the buffeting of the winds and waves. They had to inspire the crew with confidence that they could reach safe landfall and find a marvellous and new land. Hector Busby proved that with men who currently can write about their experiences travelling with him, tracking the navigational path of the ancestors in Waka, fairly identical to the ones that were sailed those hundreds of years ago. So we know this is not fairy stories. Between Labor and the Greens and the Māori Party, there is a star path to Aotearoa that's been laid down in this election. And Dame Anne Salmon says to cherish diversity as a source of richness and decision-making and ways of living rather than conflict, to tackle poverty and inequality and take care of all New Zealanders in housing, health, education and employment. It's a vision like what Michael Joseph Savage had in his age and his time. And he brought the country together because he won his landslide election victory by working with Māori, with Māori leaders like T.K. Ratana. And he understood that he couldn't do it without Māori. He had to bring them into the election process. He couldn't do it on his own, or even with Labor's supporters. So Jacinda's travelling along a renowned path, a path that actually has many parallels. And it's important to understand our islands are not just places that we reside just for one family, for one lifetime. Our islands are living landscapes of plants, animals and people that have history, that go back generations. And we've found a stellar navigator to guide us on this journey. Dame Anne Salmon recalls her mentor and teacher, Eruera Stirling, and the chant that he used to call, "Whakarongo, whakarongo, whakarongo. Listen, listen, listen." And ki te tangi a te manu e karanga nei, the cry of the bird calling, "Tui, tui, tuia, join, be one, tuia i runga, tuia i raro, above, bind below, tuia i roto, tuia i waho, within, without, tuia i te heri tangata, the knot of humankind. Ka rongo te pō, ka rongo te pō, night hears, night hears. Tuia I te kāwai tangata, I heki mai, the lines of people coming down. I hawaiki nui, hawaiki roa, great hawaiki, from Long Hawaiki, I Hawaiki pa mau, Hawaiki far away. I hono ki te wairua, ki te wha ao, bind to the spirit, ki te ao marama, to the world of light. And Jacinda spoke about the world of light in her speech on Saturday. In her timely, relevant, inclusive manner, speaking with integrity, she brought us together. She deliberately invited people into the fold who hadn't voted Labour before. And she gave them the sense of belonging, belonging on the next stage of the journey. In the last week of the campaign, two announcements came about that were quite extraordinary, and I want to mention those because they indicate light being cast on seniors' issues, and they indicate an awareness that despite the strong advocacy for the last 4 years about these issues by a number of people, not just seniors, we are suddenly finding a responsiveness. Whether this was an 11th hour election responsiveness or whether it's actually got substance, we will have to not just wait and see, we will have to pile on some pressure. And that's why I'm wanting to talk about this today. And these two issues were, one stemming from Winston waving his wand in his 11th hour, reminding people the importance of having an aged care commissioner. Like in Ireland, in Wales, in Australia, where they have significant elder abuse, as we do, they have found it imperative for the purposes of setting a standard, setting a deterrent, creating a pathway of justice for seniors. They have created an office for an aged care commissioner, a well-resourced office, so that cases can be prepared and taken through the courts. A real deterrent, so people know they can't play around with seniors' money. They can't do things inside the family and hope that the rest of the family will be too embarrassed and too shocked and too shamed to do any action. No, it won't be left up to families. They'll be left wide open to be targeted by the state, and their shame will be acknowledged far and wide when it becomes apparent what they've actually stooped to do. Too many people get away with too much at the moment. So this is going to be a very interesting exercise. It was picked up first by Judith Collins, and in the middle of last week she announced that if she was going to be the leader of the next government, she would be bringing it in on her watch. And within a few hours, Jacinda had actually announced that she was going to do likewise. So it's watch the space. Now, another announcement that came through, and it was done fairly quietly. There wasn't a big rah-rah about it. But this was from the Labor camp, stating clearly that the legislation proposed by the Access Alliance, worked on by the Minister, Kapil Sepeloni, and worked on by a team of people in the Ministry of Social Development. This legislation has widespread lobby groups and support right across the disability sector, the aged care sector, the advocacy for seniors, and so on. And this has been supported by Jenny Silesia, by Tracy Martin, who was the Minister for Seniors. And the work that's gone in is really quite huge. It's about 2 years' work so far. But this is going to be brought to fruition during this three-year term of Labor. What does this mean? Well, we have talked about it before on the station, and we will talk about it again. But essentially, it is the opening up of First of all, the building code and practice to ensure that buildings are accessible, that we're building accessible public space so people are not battling heavy doors. Currently, I have injured my arm, and it's particularly painful in the shoulder, the rotator cuff muscle, and down into the wrist. So it really virtually means I have to do a lot of things right-handed. And carrying heavy things and trying to get through a door at, say, a bank or even McDonald's, where the door is huge, it's really hard. Unless someone's there to open it for me, it's really hard to get through. So I'm just saying that just on a practical day-to-day level, it's going to improve life for ordinary New Zealanders. But there's much more to it than buildings and accessibility. It's about accessible services, not just physically again. It's about breaking down barriers, whether they be language or whether they be psychological. So there's a lot of ramifications. It's a complex piece of legislation, and it will be modelled on comparable legislation in Canada, which is considered state of the art on the planet. So we're looking forward to this as real progress, something that's going to really improve people's lives. And it's a very exciting development. And I am over the moon, to be honest, because it was so, it was just hard work, just knowing that we were doing all this work, but the advocates were not getting rewarded because we weren't seeing the progress, we weren't seeing the legislation come into the parliament. And it was a parliament that was quite choked with passing legislation in the last term, and there was plenty stacked up, and, you know, it was just difficult to get something that big through the system. So now we know, with the mandate that Labor has received and the wide scope of the voting patterns to support Labor, we know that there is a goodwill there to ensure that people who are disabled, people who struggle to be included, whether it's a physical or mental disability, whether it's eyes, ears, hips, knees, backs, whatever it is, feet, whatever the disability, whatever the barrier, this legislation is going to unlock the doors, and it's going to enable people to fly, to literally be able to go where they want to go and do what they want to do. So it will be very empowering, and it's something that's time has come. We're going to have a music break now, and I've chosen New World in the Morning because it felt like a visionary song that was appropriate for this time, this historic time that we're moving into. Listen up and enjoy.
Everybody talks about a new world in the morning, new world in the morning, so they say. Well, I myself don't talk about a new world in the morning, new world in the morning, that's today. And I can feel a new tomorrow coming on, and I don't know why I have to make a song. Everybody talks about a new world in the morning, new world in the morning takes too long. Do many folks just stand and wait until the morning? Don't they
welcome back, everyone. And this is our first program post the election, and I'm in it just to share from many perspectives how important this election has been, what it's likely to portray in terms of what the future holds. There has been some talk already about should the Greens be in the government at the decision-making table, or should they be supporting bills on supply in the Parliament and more or less out of the direct government decision-making table? Should they have any cabinet roles at all, and how should their policies be addressed? And that is a tricky question, because if we want transformational change in Aotearoa, if we want to see inequalities addressed, if we want to see structural changes in employment and housing and health that are really needed, because we live in a different world now and what has worked in the past is really creaking at the knees and not really delivering to a lot of people. How is that going to get addressed? And or is this merely a situation where Labor's going to be caretaking the middle of the road, sharing the road between left and right, but not really being decisive, not really using the social capital that has been handed to them? And I guess tweaking around the edges is quite different from transforming society. So that is the kind of divide that they're sitting on at the moment. I'm not commenting what they should do, and I'm not commenting on what I think they're going to do. I think we will see things unfold, and sometimes it will look like tweaking, and other times it will look like genuine transformation. I don't think it's either or. I think we'll find there will be elements of both going on in the dialogue and in the practice day to day. But that's just my opinion. And one of the things that stands out very clearly from the result on Saturday is a large number of Māori who voted, some for the first time ever. The galvanising of the Māori vote, and whether it was funnelled into a Green vote, whether it was funnelled into the Māori Party, or whether it was funnelled into Labour, there is significant Māori across the board in many parties. And there's many, many more Pacific people in the Parliament. So their numbers have gone from 5 to 11. There is a sizeable Māori caucus. And again, whether the Māori Party are at the decision table making those decisions with the Māori Labour caucus people in government roles and senior ministers' roles, or whether they're outside the tent but contributing policy and contributing ideas in select committee, just exactly, and I say they, at the moment it's one person. Rāwiri Waititi has an illustrious ancestry from Te Whanau Aupunui and Ngāti Porou, and I am sure that it's a really significant thing that he's there from many points of view and from many angles. And he led the transformative response to COVID in Ngāti Porou land, where they did not have any deaths and where they had, I think, less than six cases, where they completely transformed the distribution of food and supplies to the people, so that they stopped people travelling up and down the highways, lengthy car trips and the fuel costs to the families. They completely transformed life for the people on the East Coast under the lockdowns, and did an extraordinary job. Just a glimpse of the transformative power that lies with these sort of people coming into our Parliament. So watch for those special votes as they come through. Watch for what seats might change, because there are quite a lot of people sitting on quite slim majorities at the moment. It's going to be a very exciting fortnight. Yes, it will be. And I'm not laying bets on any of the outcomes. I do think it's very healthy for us to have 25 of the seats in Parliament actually for Māori. And I think there will be some phenomenal maiden speeches. I think there'll be some busloads of Māori from around different parts of the country coming into the gallery at Parliament. Some extraordinary song and dance will occur. So I suggest you watch Parliament TV, because I think that you'll get wonderful entertainment over the next few weeks and wonderful depth of feeling from the people who really care about how our country's governed, what they're bringing to their role, the depth of their commitment, because some of them have had fire in their bellies for quite a few years. They've prepared for this. In a long time, I haven't seen the calibre of such people in our Parliament. I think this is going to be really amazing. And there are some very striking young people with some extraordinary talents. I'm not just thinking of Chloe Swarbrick, although she's rather wonderful, and I have been amazed at her stamina doing 4 hours of radio on the referenda on cannabis. She showed that she'd done her homework in great depth and was able to talk very knowledgeably about what had happened in different parts of the world, what also happened under prohibition with alcohol and how long it took to bring alcohol into a market-driven environment that was legal. Many, many years. It took about 10 years. Wasn't something that happened overnight. So she really put it in context for a lot of people who were finding it hard to imagine what life might be like in New Zealand if that referendum passed. We still don't know the outcome, and we won't know till the end of November the outcome of those two referenda. So that's part of our wait and see situation. So we'll have lots to talk about on the program. And I think it's really a time where we're going to have some issues to do with the economy, and over Christmas families will be worrying about people losing jobs in their family. There will be some real difficulties. People will have to pull together and support each other. And so we're going to talk about finances. We're going to have at least one program a month where we focus on this. And so I invite you to keep listening, keep tuning into what we're dealing with, because you want to be up to date so that you can help and advise people in your family. People seek advice too late often, when they can't pay their bills. Rather than waiting till after Christmas, we're going to have a budget advisor come in and explain what are some of the things that you can do and why it's important to take action early. I think this could be very illuminating. Also, there'll be more about KiwiSaver as well, because that people are starting to realise, as a senior, you can join KiwiSaver now and you can get 8% interest on those shares and investments, much better than money in the bank. It's not as protected, true, but it's overall a better strategy. Keep listening to us and we'll keep informing you. Thanks for listening.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.